This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Joy 94.9.
Freshly dug Joycast.
Now, my next guest is an author. His name is Greg Milan, and he's written a book all about men's health, and he's on the line now. Good morning, Greg.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm really well, thank goodness. So at this precise point, I don't actually need your book, but it's full of good advice. Why did you write it?
Well, I guess it's a combination of 17 years of experience of working with men around Australia, running workshops and training health professionals in how to work with men. And I've also been a writer in the men's health area for about 12 years. So I thought it was time to put the book out for the first time Australia.
You mean there hasn't been anything similar out in Australia before?
I beg your pardon?
You mean there has not been a similar book in Australia before?
No, this is the first A to Z guide to men's health in Australia, and it's the first by an Australian author who actually works in the area of men's health, surprisingly.
So the first expert book. Well, no, perhaps that's stretching it a bit far. Other people have been experts, but not specifically in men's health, was what I meant.
We've had most books on men's health come into this country from the United States or the UK. Again, useful, but the information is slightly different, and of course there's no Australian resources. We've had a couple of books on specific subjects written in Australia by doctors. I'm not a doctor, I'm a social worker and a health educator who's, as I said, worked in the men's health area for a long time, and this is a really easy to follow guide for men to work with, to find out what they need to know to improve their health.
Because, as I understand it, most men are actually quite reluctant to do something about their health. It's really difficult to motivate men to check their health regularly,
well,
for example.
Well, I actually don't agree with that. All the new research that's shown in Australia is that men are incredibly interested in their health. And the problem is that we don't have a very male-friendly health, welfare and community system in this country, which the government's just realised because they've released our first ever national male health policy a few weeks ago, pointing out that the health system in this country needs to be more male friendly. Where we do great work with men is in the workplace, at sports games and at pubs. They're the places where men are, and we can get in there, as we've been doing for the last 10 years, and provide health information to men. Men don't, you know, doctors are open 9 to 5, men work 9 to 5, first problem. It's difficult, so GP services need to change their hours. Things like that, it's about access to services. So it's not men's fault at all, it's the fault of the system in this country.
And is that what you mean by not being male-friendly, that the services are not
Absolutely.
There during the working hours?
Yes, that's what I mean by not being male-friendly. I do a lot of training with doctors and nurses and social workers who come to me to learn how to effectively engage men, because they simply don't know.
Oh, that does seem to be rather a large gap, since we're about half the population. Now,
think of it, another way of thinking it, if you had a party and people didn't come, wouldn't you ask what was wrong with the party, not the people who didn't come?
Good point.
What we've been doing for years is blaming men for a system that doesn't work for them.
It doesn't seem to work for a lot of people, because I had a guest on not long ago talking about mental health and young people, and saying it didn't work very well for young people either.
No, I agree. I don't think it does.
Now, how is your book going to help then? I mean, this is written presumably for, you know, a man to buy and read.
Yes, it's written for men to buy and read. I also know it'll be bought by a lot of women who are concerned with the health of the males in their lives. The book's an A to Z guide, but what's unique about this book is it doesn't just cover physical health. Yes, we're interested in this chapters on heart disease and diabetes and gout, but it also covers things like how to build better relationships with people, how to deal with difficult emotions, intimacy and sex, sexual performance. Now, that's the valuable info that every modern-day man needs to read. It's more about those topics as well. Yoga, meditation, there's things in there about how to deal with stress and manage stress, anxiety and depression. So it's not just about physical health.
No, and of course, all these issues are very important to our listenership. We are, of course, a gay and lesbian radio station. So, but gay men have exactly the same kind of health problems as straight men, with some differences.
This book is excellent for gay men or straight men. It's been designed for all men. When you read the book, there's not a father or, there's not a husband and wife mentioned in the book.
Uh-huh.
It's about partners. So this is an excellent book for gay men.
And I notice you cover all kinds of stuff. I'm just looking through the chapter list. You mentioned about relationships and so on, but you cover things like depression, which is another thing men are supposed to be poor at recognising and dealing with. And again, would you say that is also a case of the services not being where they need to be at the time they need to be?
Oh, look, absolutely. I've worked with men with depression for 10 years running workshops. Some of those workshops have been specifically for gay men. Some haven't been. What I'm quite concerned about is that some of our big agencies in this country who say they deal with depression for all people are not dealing with the depression in the GLBTI community. There's higher levels of depression in those communities than the mainstream community, but that seems to be ignored by some key agencies who are supposed to deal with depression.
Yeah, well, we do seem to be starting to turn that around now, but it's taken a heck of a lot of kicking to make that happen.
Absolutely, yeah. Another area of interest for gay men is prostate cancer.
Yes,
and the Prostate Cancer Council in Australia refuses, at the moment, to provide specific programs and services for gay men.
Really?
And that's what I've been trying to get something happening there for the last 6 months, but that's also very difficult.
I was not aware of that. I think I know someone I can ring up who'll give them a good kicking and might get them to move.
That'd be great.
It's always good. It's interesting to also to see that you cover things like eating disorders, which we tend not to think of as male health problems. I mean, we think of eating disorder as being a female thing.
Well, it's actually not. There's some good chapters in there for all men to read around body image and also eating disorders. We think that probably 10 to 12% of eating disorders in this country are males, and the number's growing. But, again, there's only one place that's providing any services for men, and that's in Queensland. So it's another area where there's a gap in services for these guys who are, definitely have eating disorders and definitely need some treatment and support.
Yeah, I mean, I know a good many gay men who do seem to struggle with the whole body image thing, certainly. They're desperate to have the six-pack and be terribly buff and all the rest of it.
I think you're right. Gay men struggle with that, but could I just, being fair, a lot of straight men do too. They try to live up to that image of the media. The media seems to have two body shapes that are acceptable. One is the really skinny, almost anorexic type, and the other is the gym boy toned up. Now, most Australians, 90%, probably 95% of us, are never going to look like either of them. But we get very depressed and upset trying to. So that's the problem. Yeah, the body image comes for men. More than 50% of advertisements in this country are now involving shirtless males. Not women over cars anymore, it's men that are selling products, and that's part of the problem around men and body image.
Yeah. The other thing I noticed about advertising too, and this relates, I think, to the mental health thing, is that in the advertising world, all the men seem to be stupid.
Yes, isn't that dreadful? The way men are portrayed in commercials in this country is terrible. We're stupid. We're the victims of stupidity. And we need to have advertisements on television that actually portray men, as being okay blokes. We don't.
Well, they haven't been very good at portraying women in a very realistic fashion for many, many years, so I wouldn't hold out much hope on that one.
No, I agree.
Now, I was very interested in this chapter heading, Irritable Male Syndrome. What the heck is that?
Well, look, if you read the book, it's been developed by a good colleague of mine in America, Jed Diamond, who's an expert in this area and has written a number of books. Basically, what it's talking about is the midlife change in men. Normally we say in their 50s, but sometimes earlier.
Uh-huh.
And it's a combination of a few things. It's hormonal change, like women, which we haven't investigated enough.
Mm-hmm.
It's hormonal change, life, society change, and It can look like somebody who's very irritable and angry and a bit depressed, but so he's coined this irritable male syndrome, which just describes it perfectly. And it's something that you can get through. Some men don't suffer from it at all. Some men have it for a few years, and it's very difficult for their partners and friends. And gay men go through this too.
Sure.
It's about growing older, looking at what you're doing in your life, thinking, look, I'm not around for much longer. What else do I need to do? And spending a bit of time thinking about that as well. But irritable male syndrome can be treated now in different ways too. Doctors have come on board and looking at hormones and testosterone levels, and with some people, testosterone and hormone replacement therapy work. I think I'll put a rider on that you need to be very careful about that treatment, but there is a medical
especially if you've got prostate cancer in your family. Especially if you've got prostate cancer in your family, as I do. Then you've got to watch out for the testosterone treatment, certainly.
Yep.
Okay, Greg, thank you very much for joining us this morning. It sounds fascinating. The book is called Men's Health and Wellbeing, an A to Z Guide. It's by Greg Milan, and it's out now.
It's available in all bookstores after the 1st of July, or you can go to the website, which I think you might have there, of Longaville Media, where you can order it online.
Okay, thanks very much for that, Greg.
Thanks so much.
That was Greg Milan there. You're listening to Freshly Dug on Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.